Matthew chapter 6. Isaiah writes, one of the names of our Lord is Wonderful Counselor. And he exemplifies it in the Gospels, I think. I guess that may have been what Isaiah was, one of the references he was talking about when he came and preached. But I think it's most clear as I've studied these chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew, where he actually sits down and teaches, I guess, for the day. You know, he's got another name for our Lord is Divine Wisdom, or Wisdom. Wisdom personified. That's what Solomon says, right? It's wisdom personified. And there we have it. He just divine wisdom, practically and simply relating to folks like you and I. It's amazing, isn't it? He goes in chapter 5, as we brought out a couple of weeks ago, goes from the righteousness that God requires to righteous works. Can't separate the two. I think that's a mistake that grace folks make sometimes. There's holy living involved with a walk with Christ. And he says here in verse 1, just take heed. Take heed. Or some start with beware. And then some say be very careful. All of it would apply. Take heed. Take heed of practicing your righteousness before other people. And that's the better way. So the King James says alms, but alms is used a couple of verses down. This is a different word. This is righteousness. This is works of faith is what he's talking about. He said, be careful of practicing those righteousness as before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Don't mean they're going to hell. He says you'll have no reward from your Father. He talks about the three things that the Pharisees took great pride in this chapter. He goes into three things. Giving, they abused these three things. Giving, prayer, and fasting. But it could include, very easily could include, and I think as you study it, you'll see it. It could easily include to them, the Pharisees, the works of religion, but to us, to believers, we call them fruits of faith. And he addresses it not, like I said, to hypocrites. He does that in chapter 23. But to believers. And I thought, what if I were there? What if Britt was sitting on that mountainside listening? And I thought, what if he made eye contact with me? Could you imagine that? The Lord makes eye contact with you while he teaches. Well, he does. He does now. But I thought, what if I were there? You know, we're direct, as we should be. We're direct with things that are false. We always have been here, haven't we? But sometimes everybody point at me. How many fingers are going back? Three. Britt needs to be addressed. So while I preach this morning, I'll be addressing Britt. If you want to listen, you can, or you can leave, and I'll finish talking to Britt. But Britt's who I'm talking to this morning. I need to be addressed often. What about Britt? What about me? Why do I do what I do? That's the title of this message. Why do I do what I do? I think the Lord may be addressing or could be addressing three groups of people primarily. Now, the Pharisees were there. But I think his focus, his care was on three groups of people. I think he says, take heed, be careful, you that know me. Take heed and be careful, you that think you know me. And then the third group is, take heed and be careful, you who want to know me. Henry Mahan, before Mr. Henry died, when I started helping Dad, he would send me little outlines, little snippets. He sent me one on this, Matthew 6. He would say, he'd put a little note, he'd say, see if you can work something out with this. Well, I don't know how well it worked out. But he sent me this. He said, in seeking the benefits of Christ, forgiveness, adoption, eternal, those things. You know what I'm talking about? The benefits of Christ. You can think of more. He said, do I miss his blessings? In seeking the benefits of Christ, do I miss his blessings? Look at John chapter 6. I think this is what he's talking about. John 6:25. It says, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw the signs, because you ate the loaves and were filled. Seeking the benefits and missing the blessings. In other words, do I miss the hand that's feeding me sometimes? We know that saying, don't we? Do I miss the hand that feeds me? Then he said this. In seeking and serving Christ. In other words, when I attend church services or I give my offerings or whatever we do in serving Christ, we preach or when we teach, do I miss the Spirit of Christ? Look at Matthew, just a couple of pages over in Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He goes on to say, many on that day will come to me in verse 22 and say, Lord, we did prophesy, we preached in your name, we taught Sunday school classes in your name, we cast out demons, we served you. But in serving our Lord, do I miss the Spirit of our Lord? Then he said this, in living for Christ, a good, holy, good character, holy living, in living for Christ, do I miss his love? Don't miss the love of Christ. Over at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Good example of that. Verse 1 says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I've missed loving Christ. In serving him, have I missed loving him? Huh? Do we miss enjoying Christ? He's our friend. We miss loving him. If I give away all that I have, if I'm delivered up to be burned, I have not love. I have nothing. I have nothing. And then finally, he left this. He said, in following Christ, do I miss the fellowship of Christ? John 2. John 23. John 2, 23 and 24. And when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name. Many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself. He didn't. What that word means is he didn't unite with them. He didn't let them into that inner circle. That's what the word means. He didn't reveal himself to them. He didn't befriend them. See what I'm saying? So in following Christ, I miss fellowshipping with Christ. And those things are easy for believers to do if they're not careful. We need to check ourselves, don't we? This is what I ask me. I ask myself, I said, do I have doctrine? Do I have truth? Do I have principles? Do I have all of those things of Christ, but no Christ? You ever ask yourself that? I don't know that you outgrow asking yourself that. That's what that last song the guy was doing. Robin, so he's asking himself. He said, prone to wonder. I asked him the other day, I said, we were talking about this a few weeks ago, this message. I said, Kim, do we believe in God or do we believe God? And why do I believe? Why do I believe? Why does Britt believe? Why do I do what I do? Why am I at church for 60 years, Kate? 60 years. Why? That's all I've ever known, getting up, coming to church. It's a blessing. 60 years. Why am I at church 60 years? Why did I bring my kids to church all their lives? Why am I doing this that I never thought I would do? But you know what? God doesn't look at a single one of those things. Right? Am I right? What's he say? Men do. These folks adore. That's why if you studied these three chapters embedded in there, that's what I was saying. He focuses on those things, the giving, the fasting, and the prayer. But there's other things. But it embedded in there because these folks that he was teaching so adored the Pharisees. And as you go through here, you begin to see he's trying to teach them. That's not your adoration. You're looking at men. My Father looks at the heart. And all through these three chapters is what he's dealing with. It's your heart, it's your thoughts. Paul says, examine yourself. So I said, Brad, examine yourself. Examine yourself. It's what the Lord wants you to do here. I thought about the fire service I was in, and in the side where I've always loved what I did, haven't I? When I was at the fire, there was never a day I didn't enjoy going in. There were some aggravating times, but I loved the job. I loved it. And I thought about this religion that we do. Do I love it? Or do I just do it? That's what the Lord said. He said, take heed. Listen to me. Just listen to me. Listen to what I'm telling you. It's very simple. He says, and it is simple. Just simple lessons. Listen to me. Think about what I'm saying. So I ask you again, do you believe in God or believe God? Most of us have always believed in God, haven't we? I bet everybody in this, was there ever an atheist, and almost an atheist in here? There's not. You run across very few of those. Most everyone's always believed in God. There's too many evidences not to believe in God. But I ask myself this, am I just old Joe walking down the road here that believes in God? Or am I Abraham that believes God? See, there's a difference. Amen. There's a difference. Huge difference. That's what he says over in Psalm 103. He said, God revealed his way, his character. That's what the way, the word is. He revealed his character. He united with Moses, but he revealed his acts. And he reveals those to folks all around us. His acts to the people of Israel. Constantly reveals that. You hear that all the time. Did you see what God did? Did you see what God did there? From hell to storms to everything. He reveals his acts to men. But there's very few that he reveals his character with, that he unites with. I've always believed in God, like I said. But there was a moment in time in my 20s that I believed God. See? Remember Job? Job spent a lifetime believing in God, and he did tons of good things. But there was a moment in time, Job said, I have heard, but now I see. He went from believing in to believing. See? Clumsy. See, eternal life is not believing in. Eternal life is believing. Still talking about the wise now. James writes over in, you remember what he wrote over in chapter 2 of 18? Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Still talking about these wise. That's what James is talking about in that book. Do I know about the truth, or do I show the truth? Grace people, Henry Mahan came along at a time when it was slanted so far of the I do's, I will's. It was all about I. And he stood. Now, maybe the thing has switched. Maybe I'm the warner of the grace people. Folks, we got to have some practice to our talk. Some show to the truth we say we believe. Truth shows. Devils believe there's one God. But Lucifer didn't believe in God, or he wouldn't have tried to take a throne from him. He didn't believe God. He knew there was a God, just like Joe does a while ago. He didn't believe God, or he'd have never tried to do what he did. Adam, same way. Same way. He knew there was a God, but he didn't believe. Or he'd have never been tempted to do what he was tempted to do and failed. And on it goes. That's the story of man. Right on up to today. Some believe in, some believe. Which am I? That's the question I ask me. Which am I? Which is Brit? And here's the second point. To those three groups, those that he said to be careful, those that know they believe, that think, and that want to. Again, I've always believed all men are sinners. That's all I've ever said. When did you start preaching? 1967 or so? That's all I've ever known. How could you not believe all men are sinners? I believe that since I could understand things. And we're living in a world that shows it's going to hell out there. We're living in a world that shows men are depraved. It's all around us. But the question is Brit a sinner? Am I a sinner? Am I depraved? Verse 12 of chapter 6 there. Back at our text. Lord, you know, when they said, teach us to pray, he says, and pray this, forgive our sins. And as we forgive it, but that's our problem. I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. But what about me? Forgive my sins. Because I'm a sinner. Not everybody around you can't be the sinner. I'm the sinner. That's what he's saying. Don't forget yourself. When you forgive others, remember to pray for forgiveness of your sins. Like I said, you point the finger, but every time you point the finger, you got to remember how many are pointing back at you. You know, the problem, Solomon wrote this, the way of a fool is what? Right in his own eyes. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And I asked myself, I said, are you that fool? Am I that fool? Do I point at everybody but me? You know, the problem in the whole world, we were talking about this a few weeks ago, the problem in the whole world is everybody thinks they're right. But we can't fix the whole world, can we? We can fix us. We can fix our little groups. We can teach each other these things. And we can admit that it's a problem, can't we? Here's a problem in our little groups of people. The preachers are always right. They're never wrong. You ever known a preacher that was wrong much? They're all right. Preachers, that's why they can't get along. That's why they put fences around each state they're from. That guy from California can't come into Nevada. I said, uh-uh, we're different. He says things, he combs his hair different. He's different. They can't get along. People that's sitting in the pews are wrong. That's why there's schisms. They point at everybody else. There's always fusses going on, schisms going on. Here's the fact. We're all fools until we can all say that I'm not always right. That's what Solomon says. You're a fool till you can say you're not always right. Our thoughts are wrong. Our motives are wrong. Therefore, our speech is wrong. Our actions are wrong. Because what goes on in here comes out, don't it? We use Paul. Jason used him Wednesday night. We use him constantly. Oh, wretched man that I am. But do we really mean that? I don't know how many times I've used him, and I don't know. It don't mean that. Do we really mean it when we say it? Why do I do what I do? Here's the third point. I believe Christ died for sinners. Once again, since 1967 or 8 or so, that's all I've ever heard. I believe he must die that God will be just in my salvation. That's what we spoke about, that righteousness that God required. I believe all of that through the Scriptures. I believe Christ is the only way to God. He is. Simply put, he's our substitute. He's it. No other way to God but through Christ. I believe he's the Redeemer of the elect. I truly believe all of that. But you can believe all that and still go to hell. I had a guy live with me one time. He believed all of those things, and he also worshipped devils. He was a Satan where he tried it all. Believe all that stuff and still go to hell. Chapter 7, that's what he's teaching them there. Chapter 7, see, it's a continuous teaching. But in chapter 7, verse 13, he's warning them, enter in at that narrow gate. Wide is the gate that leads, you can believe a lot of good things. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And he says a lot of folks go that way. But only few go through that narrow gate. He says it in verse 21 there of chapter 7. I read it a while ago. Not everyone who says and does Lord, Lord things are going to enter. Going to be a lot of them that says, I never knew you. Never knew you. Knew a lot of truth, but you never knew me. And that's the question I have for Britt. Do I believe it since I was 4 or 5 years old? Do I believe it? Or have I received it? There's a big difference there. Have I believed it or have I received it? John 1:12, as many, what's it say? John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It received him. Bags won't save us. You know, we immediately slam the Arminians in the Romans Road, don't we? But that's fact-based. It's just Scripture. It's true Scripture. But we never look at these good Calvinists and their 5 points. Isn't that good Scripture? Huh? I'm just being honest because I'm just preaching to me, remember. You don't have to listen. I'm just preaching to me. Facts won't save us. Just as it's not enough to believe in, you must believe. It's not enough to believe, you got to receive. A lot of good Calvinists, a lot of good, we've seen them all of our life. A lot of good Calvinists going through life, built a sweet little family, married somebody out of the church, or somebody out of another church. You know, good man, good woman, raised a good family. This is what mom and dad taught them. This is what dad preached. Going to hell. Going to hell. Kim and I talked about that several months ago. I wonder how many Calvinist families are miserable.
Right.
Miserable. Second Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 12. He's talking about his suffering and why he does what he does. He says, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that he is able to keep that, guard that. You know what that means? That means, he says, he guards it until the day, I've committed it until the day I've entrusted it to him. What that word entrusted, keep that. You know what that word means? Deposited. Kim, when her father passed away, one of the first things she did was put what he had left her portion in my name too. First thing. She deposited everything she had into my name. Why did she do that? She trusted me. She trusted me. We were one. We were. She had received me. I had received hers. Each other's. We're together. We're one unit. Received. Trusted. We're one with Christ. If you've received him, you're one with him. You can entrust everything you have. That's a sign that you've received him. That's what that Wade Robinson wrote in that song. He said, his forever his. And he isn't only his. He says, who the Lord in me shall part? He says, heaven and earth may pass away, but as long as time shall be, I am his, and he is mine. He entrusted, that's what Robinson is talking about. He entrusted everything he had to Christ. He received him. They were one. Had no reason not to. Not only he believed and he trusted. Scripture says if you confess with your mouth and what? Believe in your heart. What's that mean? Receiving it. It's one thing to talk. It's another thing to really believe it and receive it in here.
Right.
Received. I mean, as he goes on, Paul goes on and tells us, he says, sure, there's got to be some head knowledge. You can't just get into this thing willy-nilly without knowing anything. Sure, there's some things you learn. Got to learn some things before you come to Christ. Simple things. Believing is one of the simplest. But it's the heart, he says, that believes unto righteousness, isn't it? That's what he says in verse 10 of that chapter. It's the heart that believes in it. It's the reception of it. Head hears, but the heart must receive, or it's nothing. It's absolutely futile. So believing and receiving, that's just like I said a while ago, believing in and believing are two entirely different things. Believing and receiving, two entirely different things. That's what the epistle is. He says, beware that you be careful. One of those, ask yourself that you have make sure you don't have an evil heart of unbelief. Because if you do, the non-reception part of it will finally come out. It'll show. Then I ask myself this. This is the fourth point. I ask myself this. Believed and received now. Do I know the facts of faith? I want to talk about doctrines. The 5 points. Have I got them down? Those confessions. There's a confession from Philadelphia to San Francisco. And I probably believe them all. I believe the Bible's inspired. I believe all those facts of faith. But is that all I believe? Is that what everything I do is based on, those facts of faith? Once again, our Lord's warning, many will come to me in that day and say, this and that, I did all this, or wide is that gate? Do I know the facts of faith, or do I show the facts of faith? Do I show it? Do I show my faith? Go back to James. Do I show the evidences of faith? Look at Matthew. That's our Lord asked the same thing in this same teaching in Matthew 7:24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be a wise man. Hearing and doing. Putting the facts that you know into action. Showing the truth. Showing that you believe. Over in Hebrews 11. Look over there. That's that. Let's call it face roll call, I think folks call it. Learned that in Sunday school one time, got a pen for it. Hebrews 11. It says Noah there, verse 7. Noah, being warned of God concerning events yet unseen, took the warning. Was it? No, he moved, didn't he? He moved quickly. he didn't just take the warning and say, thank you for the warning, Lord. He moved. He tried to get his friends on board. He preached. He moved. He didn't just sit there. Verse 8. God made a promise to Abraham. Did Abraham just sit there? Thank you for the promise. I'll be looking for it. No. He got busy, didn't he? He left everything. He obeyed and went out. It's verse 17. He didn't just say, Lord, everything I got is yours. My family, my car, everything I got is yours. Did he just say that? No. He took that son and offered him. Would have offered. So he put action to it, didn't he? Moses said, choosing to suffer the afflictions of his people, what did he do? Did he just sit and listen to sermon audio at the kitchen table or in the deer woods and say, boy, that man's preaching? Is that what he did? No. Heck no. He identified with the people, didn't he? He moved. He showed that he believed. All of those people, they read the chapter, they all showed action. They proved that they knew the truth. Proved that it wasn't just facts in their head. Here's one. Here's a practical. First John. It's a practical. We're Baptist, so we love to talk about love.
First John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. We love those we fellowship with. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in abiding in him. By this, here it is, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. Our example, our substitute. He laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our life for our brothers. We can't even do that. Here's what we do. He said, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart and does nothing for him, he don't have love in his heart. In other words, he say, yeah, old Joe needs a new set of tires, and I could, but let me just look the other way. See? That's practical. And that's stuff we can deal with every day. Practical, common sense Christianity. That's what our Lord's trying to get across to these folks on that mountain. Just walking with Christ. Walking with Christ. Is that me? Is that Britt? Do I walk with Christ? Or I just talk about walking with Christ? It's not the letter of the law. That's his warning. That's what we talked about a few weeks. Not the letter of the law. That'll kill you. It'll kill you. It's just practical religion. You see something that needs to be done, do it. Just do it. Here's the last point, and then we go back, sort of back to full circle, back to that text. Giving, praying, fasting, those things, all of those things. It says, take heed. Once again, why do I do what I do? All of these things that he talks about doing through these three chapters are all right. We should, just because the Pharisees messed things up, don't mean they're wrong things. They're all right things to do. Problem is not doing things that are right. The problem is doing for the right reason. There's a difference there as well. Why do I do? Well, it must come down to two things. Why do you do what you do? Number one is the glory of God. Scripture says, whether you eat, drink, whatever you do, do all things for the glory or to the glory of God. And the second thing is the honor of Christ. And whatever, Paul writes to the Colossians, and whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Those are the two reasons we do what we do. But, once again, they're sound facts. They're scripture. Those are two verses I quoted to you. So they're sound facts. But what's the reason to keep me from just considering them as facts? See what I'm saying? What's the true motivation of what? Just because I have to? The job? Because I love it or because I got to do it? What motivates us? Well, here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14. Never mind, that's not right. 2 Corinthians 5:14, maybe. That's not it. I'll just quote it to you. Yeah. I'm gonna paraphrase this very familiar verse. For the love of Christ constrains us. I like the way Alexander McLaren wrote it. He interpreted it this way. He said, the love of Christ, his love for me, displayed by his death, constrains, controls, and keeps me irresistibly focused. Here's a verse that goes along with that, that Mr. Rod, probably the best verse of the whole song, but our Baptist hymnal left it out. But Mr. Robinson wrote this as his fourth verse, and I'm his and his is mine. It goes right along with McLaren's interpretation of that passage. He wrote this. He said, "Taste the goodness of the Lord, welcomed home to His embrace. All His love as blood outpoured seals the pardon of His grace. Can I doubt His love for me when I trace that love's design? By the cross of Calvary, I'm His and He is mine." His love constrains us. It motivates us. It's, as McLaren said, it's that irresistible focus on His love that moves us. So that's our motivation. That can only be our motivation. And either you know His love or you don't know His love. And that's why I said, Brit, either you know His love or you don't know His love. Right. Solomon wrote, he said, in his book, he said, "His banner." We sing that little song, "His banner over me is love." Back in 1980, from June to October, I went to Fort Knox. Y'all remember? Went to Fort Knox. It was at the peak of that Iranian hostage crisis. So, as boys will do, if there's a threat of war, boys will join the... I hope they still do. But if there's a threat of something, boys will join. And that place was full of people. Fort Knox was an infantry fort, and it was full of people. Full of young men. We all came from different locations and states. Different backgrounds, different colors. We were all in 100-foot-long room. Big room, one bathroom. Different habits, different personalities. And so, boys fussed and they fought. Nobody liked anybody. We four of us went up together and we liked each other, but we didn't like nobody else. But we have one thing in common, all of us in that, we went to bed with a flag. We got up with a flag. That flag was everywhere. Isn't it? It's everywhere. You couldn't march without seeing a flag somewhere. And after a while, we all came together. What motivated it? His banner. That flag motivated it. His banner over us, His love. Why do I do what I do? Well, be honest, there's probably times that to make y'all happy, probably. Times to be a good dad or a good husband. I'll admit it, sometimes. Sometimes to satisfy that old law that we're all scared to death of, even though we say we're not. Sometimes it probably, there's reasons for that. But I hope, my prayer is for me, that this message was to, is the majority of the time, the bent of my life is the glory of God and the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself.